Hi, welcome back to another episode of By His Grace Podcast. Today, my guest is Ronnie Rock. Ronnie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Ronnie, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh gosh, let's see. Well, first and foremost, I am a woman who is made in the fearful and wonderful image of God, and have learned that over time and learned just how beautiful and special and unique it is to be a woman. And that drives a lot of what I do right now from a writing perspective. I have self-published 3 devotionals called For You Love. They're all available on Amazon, and I am in the midst right now of finishing a manuscript for a book called One Woman Can Change the World. It will publish next spring.
That is so exciting. I cannot wait for that book.
And it helps us look at all of the ways that we feel that we might be disqualified to serve purposefully and to lead purposefully, but then introduces us to these amazing women around the world who truly believe that restoration is a reality right here on earth. And those women are changing their worlds, and they changed mine, and that's why I want to share what they've taught me who we are, how we're designed, and what we don't need to be afraid of anymore.
Oh, that's so good. So how did you meet these women?
I'm blessed. I don't know any other way to say it. I worked for years in corporate marketing and had a very successful career, and then just really felt God, you know, hey, does that nudge thing, like he's pushing you out of the nest. And he's like, okay, let's get those wings going. And so really felt this internal dissatisfaction that there is something I'm supposed to be doing, and was introduced to the world of nonprofits and into the world of ministry, and have since 2007, I guess, it's been a long time now, have been in full-time ministry. Also still using my gifts and talents in marketing. I'm brand manager now for an organization called Orphan Outreach. We work in 8 countries around the world, doing everything from family preservation to try to make sure that we can, if we can, keep kids in homes, yes, to quality restorative care when they need to be removed from an abusive or neglectful situation, to foster care and then adoption support. And because of that, I've had the privilege of traveling around the world. And one thing that I realized in my travels, as I worked with kids and worked with those who care for them, I sat down one day and realized that with very rare exception, every ministry that we support globally is founded or run by a woman.
Wow. Yeah, I have a friend who has been on the mission field a lot, Lori, and that's one of the things that she said that's really different here in America, because overseas, like, the women run the ministries. And I just found that to be fascinating, because in the church that I go to, it's mainly men, except for the children's area. So
it's true. There is an amazing man named Tom in Kenya who works on behalf of Orphan Outreach and makes sure that the ministry partners that we are supporting there are well taken care of and that their needs are truly being met. And I remember one day standing on this dirt road with him. We were about a half mile from a school that we were supposed to visit, and he stopped us early. And so we all got out of the van. I said, Tom, what are you doing? And he said, do you hear that? And you could hear singing. So we all started walking, and sure enough, all of the kids, it was a Sunday, but they were all dressed up in their uniforms, and they were singing this beautiful song of welcome, saying that we were beautiful flowers. And then next to them were all of these women, and just a couple of men sprinkled in. And I said, Tom, where are the men? Are they in the fields? Are they working? What? And he goes, oh no, when it comes to the important things, the things that really matter, women take the lead. And that stuck with me. And I've left that. I go, yeah, I'm kind of a big deal in third world countries because I've had the opportunity to preach. I've had the opportunity to share testimony and to pray and all kinds of things that when I've come back to the United States have been viewed as, well, that's really sweet, honey. I see some churches that are truly embracing that women and men really are. We are aligned beautifully to minister well together,
yes,
to complement each other, that woman really is strong helper standing face to face. We're purposefully designed, handcrafted. And then in scripture, man, you see prophetesses and judges and queens and women who
and the women who
prayed
were
and,
all around Jesus's ministry.
Oh my gosh, they were apostles. Mary and those women were a part of the 120. They were apostles. And so you look at that and say, oh, we have really diminished, unfortunately, and it is sadly, it's here in the United States. I see it a lot. We have allowed the purpose and role of women to be diminished. And it's sad. And then we end up within these polarized views. It's the women that are like, no, Proverbs 31 all the way. I gotta rise before dawn and make my own bread and weave my own cloth. Or you've got the women like, no, I'm gonna bust booty and crush the patriarchy. And you're like, whoa, neither one of those views are really attractive either.
Yes.
And neither one of those views are really scripturally sound. So, that's my prayer for the book and things that I do on my blog and those kind of things, is to remind you how uniquely designed you are as a woman, and how history has set you up really well to do ministry fully in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. I'd like to talk to you about church hurt. Have you ever experienced church hurt?
I have. I wonder if anybody is completely immune to church hurt. I really do. The pain that I have experienced from the local church, and I'm going to be really clear, I believe that there is a differentiation between the church with a capital C, the Bride of Christ, the beautiful image that Jesus paints of who he is returning for, who will be at that feast, that wedding feast,
yes,
which everybody, just to let you know, you're all invited to my table. We're at the Misfits table, and I want you to be there because we're going to have so much fun at my table at the wedding feast. Everybody be invited, and there'll be good Southern food, lots of fried food. I really believe this in my heart. But everybody's invited to my little Misfits table at the wedding feast. But there's a difference. And that's one thing that God had to show me, is there is a difference between this beautiful church that we are all part of the body, right?
Right.
We're not all hands and feet.
Right.
Right. Some of us are the intellect of Christ. Some of us are his heartbeat. Some of us are the lungs and we're able to breathe out. Some of us are the voice. Some of us are strong backs that hold. But if we were all hands and feet, Christ would be deformed. But you look at this beautiful image of the church, and she, as Christ says, remains spotless in the midst of her being made of a whole bunch of real messed up souls.
Yeah.
And that's the local church. The local church that we see, the congregations that are on the corners, the different denominations, all of those things are comprised of a bunch of real weirdos and
sinners.
We are. We don't get it right all the time.
Yeah.
We want to get it right. I honestly believe that because we are created in the image and likeness of Christ, of God, we are created beings that love to create.
Yes, absolutely.
We really, it's in us.
Yes.
But then we're also fully human, and we want to kind of do it our way all the time. And so we mess it up in our personal lives, and then, bam, we take that mess up into the marketplace. We take that mess up into churches. We do all kinds of stuff like that. We try to reduce things down to three-step formulas. We try to reduce scripture down to some sort of a prescription.
Right.
We are really... we just take the immenseness of God, the beauty of his will, just how expansive his creativity is.
But we put him in a box.
Oh, we do. Mm-hmm. We compress him down because we want to figure him out. because we want it. We think we need to help him out because
right.
God love him. He's getting old. He's either getting old or he has checked out or whatever, or he's just a jerk. And so he needs us to kind of puff his reputation back up a little bit. But the local church is really made of a whole bunch of messed up souls.
Yeah.
And we are charged in scripture to hold each other up, to pray for each other, to hold each other accountable. But we are charged to do this together. Christianity is the only major world religion that cannot be done autonomously.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's true.
It can't.
Yeah.
It can't. We are not set aside to go and meditate. We are not set. It's not an internal, just isolated religion where through a certain set of practices, we get it right someday.
Yeah, no, it's the one another's of scripture, loving yeah. one another, being in fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
And
I have to have a personal relationship with a God, and then I have to have a personal relationship with you. And together we walk through that with the promise that God says, hey, when you fall, I'll pick you back up. And what I have started, I will complete.
Yes.
I will complete.
Yes.
And you have to have confidence and faith in that, that no matter how far somebody falls, no matter how wrong they get it, I, God, am sovereign enough to move it back
yes.
and make it right. Because he is the God of redemption, the God of restoration.
He who began a good work in
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Philippians 1:3. Isn't that bad? You guys will have to understand that you'll hear the gospel according to Ronnie way too much because I forget the address.
Yeah. And I paraphrase. So you
I
get
paraphrase.
The Misty,
I do.
The Misty version. So.
I do. Yeah. I think that's why I love the Message and the Voice
yeah.
is because they're both paraphrased. I'm like, it's scripture after my own heart. But yeah, if you are like a real hard line, got to know the scripture and got to know the street address and all of that, or it ain't going to work, I'm probably going to really disappoint you today.
No, but let's talk about what God taught you through the process.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure. Now I'm going to let you know that, the majority of pain that I experienced it within the context of a local church happened well before we had blogs. It happened well before there was a podcast. It happened before things like abuse were used to talk about relational abuse, spiritual abuse, emotional abuse.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a time way back when in the dark ages in the 80s.
Okay.
Because that's actually where it started.
Okay.
Because that's where the pain came from. Then we're going to move forward to talk about the process that has happened in my own life. I am not a doctor, I'm not a theologian, I'm not any of those things. I'm a long road walker in my own life and in the life of those that I invest in. So I'm going to walk a long road with you, but I probably am not going to have a really good medical regimen for you. So, but I fell head over heels in love with Jesus Christ in the 80s, like passionately in love with Jesus Christ. Had come from a background where there was abuse in my family, alcoholic dad, sexual abuse by a family member who I was supposed to trust. Had lived a pretty wild life and was given a lot of permission to live a pretty wild life, even through my teen years. But God, the way he is, and he's so cool, he brings people into your life. And before you know it, I was living in a townhome with three ladies, one of which had fled a bad marriage, and she wanted to go to church, and I was being benevolent, decided I would go with her because, you know, I was the one willing to get up on a Sunday after partying on a Saturday to go to church and be kind. And in doing that, was introduced to this incredibly loving, kind Jesus Christ. And remember the day that I ran down the aisle, not walk, but ran down the aisle. I didn't understand enough to know. In fact, I told my mom the day it all happened, I said, I've got to go back to church tonight because I'm getting saved. And she said, what is that? I said, you don't understand. I got to go back to church because I got to get saved. And because I really thought that there was some sort of a connection between walking the aisle and this thing that was going to happen inside. I had to do an outside thing for this thing to happen on the inside. I know that the Lord just laughed the whole way, but then he was like, oh, sweetie,
I know. He thinks we're funny.
I love you so much. Look how cute you are. Just to let you know, God also speaks kind of like a Southern grandma in my life. He sweeties and honeys me a lot, and that's kind. But so I ran, and then so I just fell head over heels in love with him, got super involved in church, but really I had nobody around to provide a lot of wisdom and guidance. So immediately got involved in a group that had some unique ways of viewing things. And so they were exceptionally intent. I believe truly it does say that life and death are in the power of the tongue. It says that in James. However, they took it one step further, that everything that I said had to be scripture. Everything I said had to be positive, because if not, I was actually speaking death into myself. Mm. Well, the big issue I had a relational challenge. I got messed up with a wrong person whose intent was possibly not the best. And, but also in that, I became physically ill and was told that I could not go to a doctor because going to a doctor was a lack of faith or unconfessed sin. Mm. That continued for 4 years as I continued to get sicker and sicker and sicker, but doing what I was told was the right thing to do.
Right.
And I remember laying in bed at night and sobbing, saying, God, I don't know what else to confess. I really don't. And I want to believe, and I'm doing everything I can to believe, and I'm confessing every scripture that says that by his stripes I'm healed and I am whole, and that's what you want for me is healing. But in the midst of that was doctors were the enemy. Traditional medicine was the enemy. The only appropriate healing for my body would have to be a miracle wrought by God. Anything less than that was not his will.
Wow.
And
you know, that I know in my own life that like my son was born with severe club feet. His feet were upside down and backwards. If we had not had a doctor, he wouldn't be walking today.
Yeah.
So I know that God uses his people and medicine. And I don't think that doctors are all perfect,
yeah.
But the Lord can heal us however he wants.
That's so true. It is true. You know what? Jesus wouldn't have really liked Luke, or he would have told Luke, I know you were a physician, but dude, got to bail on it now, because what you're doing is actually wrong. You just have to trust me.
Yeah.
But Luke did not have to deny this beautiful profession he had as a physician. God ordained him to not just be an apostle.
Yeah.
But to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's what actually gave credence, if you look at the gospel, it gave credence to what Jesus was doing. Because then you had a doctor there also going, hey, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That's some crazy stuff, and it's all good.
Yeah, and his writing is much different than the other.
It is. Yeah. It gives a different perspective and stuff.
It's good.
So, but I really, yes, God, he has. I have literally watched blind eyes open. I have seen God's miracles in action. I have watched as God has dissolved brain tumors.
Wow.
I've gotten to be a part of those stories. And then I've also gotten to see the miraculous stories that have come because a doctor and a patient developed a relationship where that patient was made whole and that doctor's life was transformed also.
Yeah.
So God can. He can use whatever he chooses to bring wholeness and healing and stuff. We, again, the local church, man, we buff it up. We distill scripture into prescription.
Yes.
We make that the prescription instead of, oh, and you know what? I got a kidney stone.
Yeah.
And one way or the other, I need to get better. So either God can blast it, or there's a doctor that can do some really cool stuff with laser.
Yeah.
And no matter what, it is still a miracle, because God, his image and likeness, he created the wisdom within that person to do the research, to do the hard work, to be, again, hands,
yes,
right, of healing. So
let's go back to, how did you get out of that situation then? So you are not getting better. You are you are doing everything that you can to believe, and you're not getting better. So then what happens?
My story is, it's a little tough to talk about, because, again, in the midst, I was also in I was in a destructive personal relationship, a relationship where I was also, I was told that I didn't really have a lot of thoughts and viewpoints of my own, that as a woman, my role was to serve man. And so thoughts, opinions, questions, those kind of things were not readily, they were not affirmed, or those things. They were considered either rebellion or a lack of faith, or those things too. So everything kind of meshed. So for me, what ended up happening is that I had to flee. I ended up having to flee some personal relationships and step away from personal relationships in order to have a better understanding of the relationship that God really wanted me to have with him.
Yeah.
I had put so much faith.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because yeah, I think that's the key. And so tell me how your relationship with the Lord developed.
My big challenge, and what I look now back on, is I had placed so much faith in humanity and in people to tell me what God wanted in my life. God provides that wisdom. He confirms his will. He again wants us to be in those relationships with each other, to support, to pray, to challenge, to affirm, to elevate, to hold high, to hold close. But when we put our faith in a human as being the voice of God,
yeah,
right? And that's what I had done. I didn't have any kind of depth of relationship with God himself. But in stepping away, and it doesn't mean that everybody has to step away from things. I pray that if you're in a bad relationship, you're in an abusive relationship, step away. Please, yes, step away.
And get the help you need.
That's right. Yeah. Get that help. If you are in a situation where you're just getting really bad instruction, that you're like, oh, there's something going on, the instruction that I'm receiving,
and your spirit will let you know that.
It will. You know, you get that, kind of tightening in your gut that says,
something's not right here.
Something is not right. There's a piece that's missing. And so I think that when teaching that we receive, or a book that we might read, starts to take us a place that you're like, that feels a little incomplete. Something is off just a little bit. To step away from that, but then to first and foremost to make sure that we are stepping away, we're stepping toward God to say, I need you, Lord,
right,
to give me clarity. You say that you offer wisdom. You say you delight in wisdom.
Yes.
That you
want. And James tells us he freely wants to give us.
He loves, yes, to give us wisdom.
Yes.
And he says that even going through these things, that there's a point when we'll look back and go, so glad I walked through that.
Absolutely.
Because I did gain wisdom and I gained perspective, if we allow it to. And so I stepped away from some ill-founded relationship, well-meaning people, but people that were saying some things. I'm like, okay, this is harmful. It's not just emotionally harmful, it's physically harmful now for me. And the very first thing, I started journaling. I was like, I've got to do something. I purposed that I was going to dive into scripture, because I wanted to really read all of scripture, mm-hmm, and not just the little pieces that had been plucked.
Right.
That provided a certain perspective, but I wanted to understand what it would be like. And was it really always God's will that everything be done in one way? Or is it, and what did it mean if I had to wait? Did it mean I was in sin? I couldn't find that in scripture. And so I invested time personally in scripture. I was gut level honest with God, and to this day, and again, as I said, this was not a fast process, right? This was a process that has taken years, because there were a lot of things I had to learn. I needed God's perspective so I could look at humanity and see that they weren't God's, and that you, Misty, as beautiful as you are, fraught with flaws. And that is what makes you incredibly beautiful, first of all, because it is your personality, it's all those kind of things, but it is also what God uses meshed with his divinity to be able to tell the most beautiful, healing, and transformative stories. But if I look at you and elevate you as my God to say, Misty has all the answers and enlightenment.
No, Misty does not have all the answers. Let's just put that out there right now.
But
I have a God who does.
Yes.
Yes.
And so what I needed was I needed God to reframe the lens by which I looked at people.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't be set up as gods, but they also wouldn't be set up as the enemy.
Oh, that's good.
And I needed to see both sides of that. I needed to give people also grace to say, you know what? I don't know what hurt they've come through that is then shaping why they want to believe or why they believe the way they do.
Right. Or act the way they do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times hurt people will hurt other people.
Yeah.
And it's because they haven't dealt with that hurt themselves.
Yes.
So.
Or it could be, why do you believe that? I don't know. That's just what I was always taught.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that helps me. Because then that tells me that you've not done a deep dive.
Yeah.
That you've accepted something from somebody else. And maybe that's okay, because maybe what you've got is solid.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But it also lets me know that if I ask you a question, a deep dive question, you may not be able to have an answer.
Yeah.
Because maybe your faith hasn't been shaped and formed in that way. But I think it will someday. You'll have to find the deep dive to why you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
As God does not want us to be
ill-equipped
and ill-informed.
That's right. I think that is critical. I think it's something that I have really impressed upon my children. Don't believe what I believe because you will stand before the Lord one day and you need to be responsible. You need to know what the word says and you need to develop your own faith and it's what he wants us to do. We are to study the word to show ourselves approved, you know, workmen that have gotten there and done the hard work. And I can tell that you have done the hard work because you're just so beautiful. Yeah. And I just can tell how much you love the Lord. And, you know, I am excited for the journey that you are on, and I'm glad that God has brought you through that, and love the way you're loving on people, and especially women today. It's a beautiful thing. Well, I have sure enjoyed this conversation, and I know the listeners will too. So thank you so much for being on the By His Grace podcast. Tell us one more time where we can find you online.
You can find me on the website, Instagram, and Facebook. Everything is Ronnie Rock, which is RONNEROCK. And so website, ronnierock.com, and my devotionals, For You Love, which all came from that personal, beautiful time with the Lord where he reminded me of how much he loved me and then allowed me to journal some really beautiful love letters to you of what that love looks like. Those are available on Amazon and on the website as well. And then the book, One Woman Can Change the World, coming out next spring.
Well, I will have to have you back when the book launches.
Maybe you can go with me to some other country.
That would be
and
amazing.
Meet some of the women.
That would be amazing.
That'd be fun. Or you guys can, you know what? If you're listening, you can come too. Please join me.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.